It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunja Hade, Hinga Dena. My name is Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss national and local Native news. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
Wow. Hey, did we have fun calling up that phone number?
Yeah, we called yesterday, and they really have so many good services that they provide. It was really unbelievable. So yeah totally. Give them a call. You don't have to be Native American to call them. I mean, you can call right. them if you have questions.
It's so informational too, and
it
that
really
number
is
awesome.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're gonna have Robert Lilligren of NADCI on. He's our Thursday guy.
And can you remind me what NADCI stands for again? Do you have it there? Or if you don't, that's okay. We're going to find it and say it.
I will when I enter, you know,
introduce
Wendy, I have
him.
Issues.
Okay.
Come on.
Can I just tell everyone how much fun I've had today with those Bernie memes?
Yeah.
I actually went on to a link that will put Bernie sitting in front of your house on the Google World map. So it finds your house and places Bernie there, and you could share it. And it's really cute. Unfortunately, our house during with Bernie, and it has it was taken during the summer, so with its trees and grass and its sunny day.
Yeah, and that tree is smaller than it is too.
Yeah,
yeah. So we have Robert Lilligren of NADCI, and he's going to be carrying the show for us.
Yep.
And it's just exciting to have him. So why don't we get to Ogama with the news? Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Buju. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good.
I'm enjoying those Bernie memes quite a bit over here, too. I can't get enough of them. So as always, I just want to touch base on some stuff that's happening for the Stop Line 3 movement. So currently there's a petition circulating to tell President Biden to stop Line 3, like he stopped the Keystone XL. An excerpt from the petition says that Minnesotans submitted 68,000 public comments against Line 3. They've marched in the streets, attended the hearings, and engaged in every step of the process, despite Minnesota's own Department of Commerce suing the Public Utility Commission for approving this project. The bulldozers are here to plow through sacred wildlife watersheds, over 800 wetlands, and 200-plus water bodies in the land of 10,000 lakes. The drones are overhead, and the police are militarizing. So that petition's available via Action Network, and it was sponsored by MN350, Honor the Earth, Greenpeace, and many others. And you can find a link to that on the Native Roots Radio Facebook page. So that would be facebook.com/ Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. Some other great events that are happening at Camp McGeezy tomorrow. There's going to be Fry Bread Friday. That starts at 2 p.m. and runs until about 5 p.m. That's on Magny Drive in Cloquet, Minnesota. It doesn't give a specific address, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's probably going to be easy to find, like the Water Protector Center. And then Saturday, the following day on the 23rd from 11 to 2, there's the Water Protectors Just Transition Rally in Backus, Minnesota. They're going to have giant puppets, draw attention to missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, a pizza wagon, and hot beverages available. That's going to be an awesome event, so make sure you squeak over there while you're up in the Fond du Lac area for Camp McGeezy. And then if you can't get over there is a digital and physical art call out from MN350, Building a Climate Movement in Minnesota, and Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. There's going to be an event coming up next Friday, the 29th, from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at Kellogg Park in St. Paul. And the digital and physical art call is for that event. So if you're looking to create a digital poster, I'm looking at you, all of my, friends who can do digital art. The digital posters are to be printed on 11 by 17 paper. And then they're looking for phrases, protect the water, revoke the permits, no pipelines on stolen land, now do line 3, stop line 3, and stop the construction and the destruction. Obviously, if you're able to make it to the event, please do. Physical banners and posters are always welcome. If you can bring extra to share, that would be great. And you can follow at resist_line_3, where they're going to be sharing that artwork to go ahead and check it out. So I think that's going to be a really cool event. That's something people can do to support from anywhere. Right, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. Wow. You know, I wish I was an artist, Wendy.
Digital, so can't you just go on and do it?
I mean, put a Bernie in somewhere.
Yeah, put a Bernie on the poster. Exactly.
Coat and his little mittens.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do
that.
He's
against line 3. I know he was in town when he was running for president.
So do it.
Yeah.
I'm once again calling on you to resist line 3. Like, Bernie meme poster for the win, I think.
Yeah, exactly. What else do you got, Ogama?
So for the first day of Biden being in office, he signed 17 executive orders, memorandums, and proclamations. He did those just hours after his inauguration. So that was really exciting to mm-hmm. see. I just kind of want to touch base on my favorites. Mm-hmm. So obviously my favorite is no more Keystone XL. He revoked that permit. He also revoked the oil and natural gas leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Ooh, that's one of my favorites.
I can say that one today.
Too. That's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly. And then I think the other one that I really enjoyed is that President Trump had a 1776 commission, the Trump administration's 1776 commission, they called it. But it was when Trump released and, you know, did those orders and said that the federal agencies and contractors had to stop doing diversity and inclusion training. Mm-hmm. So that is a really big one for me, too. I think that that stuff is so important. And Biden is actually going to be working on a plan to root out systemic racism, not just in employment with the federal government, but also he's looking to include a plan in the next 200 days to remove barriers to opportunities and policies and programs and benefits and services. So a lot of those things that he might change are things that could definitely affect Native American people. We tend to have unequal access to federal resources, benefits, and services by comparison to other groups. Mm-hmm. So that one's probably up there for me. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
I like the one, ban the workplace discrimination against the LGBTQ employees. I love that one.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And freezing student debt.
We like that.
Yeah, we like that
we
one.
We like
too.
That one too. Seeing that I still have
but
student
debt. But there's
17.
You could go on and pick your own.
That's right. Hey, you know, Robert Lilligren's with the Native American Community Development Institute. And I want to give a shout out to Kelly out there for sending that through Facebook Live.
Oh, thank you. I know.
And
I
thanks for Wendy for putting me on the spot. I wasn't on that page of my notes yet.
I know, right? Sometimes I thought you had it memorized, you know, you're good at memorizing things like that. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, Ogama, do you have anything else? We're ending this right here. And I'm bringing the bumper music up right now.
20. Nothing other than just I'm relieved to see that we have an actual president now. Beth.
Oh boy, are we ever thrilled? Yeah, we're totally thrilled. So a lot of cool memes. I like the one where they had the construction. It looked like they were constructing the
Empire State in New York with
yes.
a big high thing and Bernie sitting all the way at the end.
And then I like this one. One of them asked me about, healthcare.
Oh yeah, change my mind. Yes. Yep.
I guess we could do those all day, but this is a radio show.
We
so
only have 10 seconds.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Nativerse Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Robert Lilligren of NADC.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, 651-304-9986. And they are open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
Right on. Hey, this is one of my favorite days, Thursday, and it's because we get to talk to Robert Lilligren. Mm-hmm. Robert, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And Wendy and I are ecstatic. We didn't really talk too much about wearing in yesterday, but oh, my gosh. And then, oh, my gosh, what do you think? Wow.
Yeah. Bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Wendy. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. This is a highlight of my week as well. So I enjoy being here. And what a day, huh? It was did you watch the ceremony?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you cry?
I cried all day.
Wendy cried all day. But you know when I cried?
Yeah.
And Wendy's not going to like this because what's her name's, what's the singer that sang the national anthem? Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. Yeah.
I got teary eyed there and with her theatrics and everything. And first she came down kind of looking like, what was that show? The Games, dressed like that. Hunger Games. Thank you.
Outrageous.
And it was awesome. And she had that big old dub on there. And yeah, that teary eyed me. But I know a lot of people really, really, really got teary eyed when it came to the swearing in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was for me. I was pretty emotional. It was just, such a combination of emotions, right? Relief. Mm-hmm. We made it, better day, a new day, just the people who are being sworn in. I mean, Kamala Harris, it's just so historic and such a joy to see, many glass ceilings shattered on that.
The poet was amazing too, that young 22-year-old. I mean, that kind of thing really blows my mind and says we have a really, and she said that she was going to be president in 2036. That's her goal.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, that was righteous. And that was moving. The national anthem, the way Lady Gaga just kind of delivered that, J-Lo, the whole thing was something. And I was really impressed with the prominent role that Senator Klobuchar played.
And I
know she was co-chair of the inaugural committee, and so that kind of gave her access, but I think that's really interesting, and so of course I'm pondering she's in line to be the chair of the Rules Committee, which in the Senate isn't quite as muscular as the House side, but still, and one of the things I've been doing a fair amount of reading of since the inauguration is how a split Senate operates, it has to operate on sort of power sharing, and power sharing agreements. And I'm wondering if the Rules Committee isn't maybe more critical in a split Senate like that, but it'll be interesting to see how this term plays out.
Hey, we were talking just before we got you on in the first segment. We were kind of losing our mind with Bernie Mims.
Oh, those are so good.
And it was ended up becoming a TV show because we were talking about it as opposed to showing them. So
we were very silly too and laughing a lot. So,
do you have a favorite?
Do you have a favorite?
I do like where he's wrapped in that Indian blanket. And what is the caption? Uncle's cold or something like that.
I liked also when Bruce Springsteen is kind of leaning up over him. That one I really liked too.
Clarence Clemens used to be in that picture, right?
I like that one
From Born to Run album. How do I know that? I was a Boss fan back in the day.
I love it. Yeah, you gotta. You never know what's going to kind of catch people's imagination, but that kind of one-off photo of Senator Bernie Sanders, you know, before, that really captured people's imagination.
Before we get into what's going on in the Twin Cities here, I really want to kind of really touch base with you about a lot the executive orders. And I know there was more today, but those first 17, my gosh, Robert.
That was something. That was a busy day. That was a big day, you know, and as a two-spirit person to see the president on his first day sign such a sweeping protection of LGBTQ rights, that was something after the last 4 years, I'll tell you that.
Well, and, you know, it's as you just said that, I kind of got a little emotional. Mm-hmm. It was huge. And let me just tell you this. I'm a high school teacher, and I remember the day after 45 was sworn in, many of my students disappeared and never came back to school.
Wow.
And there are a lot of my ELL kids, you know, and they knew. They knew what was about to happen.
Dreamers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, well, dreamers and people that maybe their parents might not be here, you know, and I'm putting the quotes up legally, but it was like shattering for me to see that happen. And now we have the reversal, and hopefully we can keep that going because we know, and not to throw like a little fire into the, or water into the fire here, is that, I think I just made that up. I don't know what that means, but is that, you know, how we felt after 45 was elected is how 71 million people feel right now after Biden's elected. So we got to really pay attention. And it's great to have you on every week, Robert. And we can talk local politics because, wow, we're going to have another election up here very soon.
Right. Nope, a lot going on. You know, there are the 70+ million people that voted for the incumbent, and you know, and that's how elections operate in our country. And so now how do we go forward? And I just don't think that's a partisan question. You know, I think now that we have just so deeply witnessed so much hate. Yeah. And so much division, you know, and that have really infiltrated our political processes and our political parties. You know, what do we do about that? How do we not just govern, but how do we live as a nation? And I think there's some deep soul searching that's going to need to go on in this country.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I don't know, there's... having somebody in that believes in science too, Robert. I mean, we're going to be dealing with the pandemic now, as opposed to saying it's fake and I have a right to wear a mask. That was one of the things he signed yesterday.
In federal buildings. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But also, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's powerful that he signed that requirement in federal buildings. Very powerful. I think as powerful, he was sitting at his desk wearing a mask.
Yes.
You know, that's as powerful as anything he's going to sign.
Exactly.
I know. So,
and you know, what I was going to say, like Robert Pilot, you just said about how the other 70,000 people are feeling right now.
70
right?
million.
70 million. I'm sorry. I said thousand.
And you can call me Bobby. P.
Okay,
you can call me Bobby P.
Can I call you that too?
Easy, Robert. Easy.
You know what I just thought of? You know, when Biden was elected, we had the insurrection at the Capitol, right? But when Trump was elected, we had a bunch of women with pink pussy hats on. There's a big difference between.
I don't know
the
if
two.
You can say that word on AM
radio.
Absolutely, pussy cat hats.
Yes,
easy.
Right. That's the difference.
No. Yeah.
Okay, I think that is the huge difference, right? There's peaceful protesting, lawful peaceful protesting, and then there's violent insurrection, and those are very different, very different things.
Well, you know what? What's the vibe with the people that you're talking to, Robert? About, I mean, Turtle Island's ecstatic, right? I mean, we have a lot of hope, but we also gotta really push our politicians in directions that we want too, especially as Native Americans.
Yep. And of course, then there's the appointments process, right? And to see Secretary Holland appointed is going to be huge. And there's already opposition right here from our own state with Congressman Stauber. That was really painful to see. And I don't quite get why he's going to pick a fight when he has four nations within his own district. I didn't quite get that.
So I don't know, Robert. That's another thing that we talk a lot about, you and I on the show, about, you know, really giving Native Americans a voice to run. And I think we really have our radar on that seat now, because that was, thanks for bringing that up, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean, the response has been swift, and we'll see how it goes through the appointments process and the hearings. But that was really unwelcome and unpleasant to read that from one of our own Minnesota Congress people.
Yeah. So I don't think his vote will make much of a difference, and she'll get going on. Is that correct, Robert?
Let's hope so. You know, let's hope so. Is this part of a strategy? That's what people were, is this part of a strategy? That's what we were wondering, you know, and is he going to be the point person on that strategy to, you know, they've got to create their chips, you know, their bargaining chips, their issues to kind of force compromise and things. So I think it's worth paying attention to that it doesn't grow into the, you know, sort of the battlefield appointment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got time for another segment, and we're here with Robert Lilligren of NADCI, Native American Community Development Institute, and then he does much, much more. And we're gonna take a quick break here, and I think we're gonna talk about much, much more with Robert Lilligren. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions at 651-304-9986.
Wow, you did that flawlessly.
I'm reading it.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow.
I don't have it memorized.
That was amazing. I'm going, wow, I married the right person. Hey, we're back here with Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute. And welcome back, Robert. And we know you do a lot more than that. And I don't always want to embarrass you with your resume, but man, you do a lot of stuff. And this is fun. We have another section with you. And I really like you to free throw or, you know, free fall. No, we don't want him to fall. We don't want him to fall. What am I looking for?
I've fallen before.
Maybe more of an improvisation, but you know, we would love to hear what you have to say and what's going on in our community and go from there, because I know you have great updates.
Oh, thanks. And thanks for having me on again. I always really enjoy it. And one of the things, you know, it's a little more somber, but I would like to take a moment. You know, we had so much, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, has been such a hotbed of activism for decades, you know, AIM founded here. And we have all of these revered elders and leaders who I call the founders, you know, and we're losing them, you know, and we need to take time to honor that. And so just this week we lost another founder in Laura Waterman Whitstock.
Giant.
And I just, a giant. Tiny per woman, but a giant, you know. And she was just so important in so many people's lives and careers, including my own, in giving just incredible guidance and support and really being what an elder should be. You know, she's an AIM founder. McGizzy Communications here in Minneapolis is a premier program for youth here. You know, she was a founder there and ran that organization for years. In fact, back in, it must have been the 70s, my oldest sister was the first person employed wow. there at Nikki's. Yeah.
Wow. So,
you know, and there's just so much legacy there, and to see her pass, you know, it's hard. I mean, I just want to make sure we're lifting her up and honoring her as she starts her journey home.
I'm really glad you brought that up again. And the last time I saw her was at the new building, and they had just uncovered all these old recordings, and it was really great to see her and to be able for her to see that her legacy is living on with digitizing all those shows.
Right, right. And many folks may know that during the civil unrest following George Floyd's murder, McGizzi's building did burn down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was AIM protectors were there, community protectors were there. It wasn't from any kind of direct attack or vandalism. It's because the buildings around them caught fire. It was literally kitty corner across the street from the third precinct that burned. And so embers flew, the building caught fire, but they were able to save those recordings that you're talking about, which would be irreplaceable historical artifacts. And so the organization,
I'm sorry to hear all those people that she interviewed over the years that that you were mentioning earlier with AIM and listening to a young Clyde and, you know, Eddie. There's just goes on and on and on. And it was happening, too, right during the trial of Leonard Peltier, too. So that was really interesting to see. I have a list of a lot of the programs Melissa Olson of KFBI has been working on.
Right. So folks who don't know, Melissa Olson is just really an incredible storyteller, right? And a cross-media platform. It's actually the meeting I just left before I came to this one. Melissa was there. It was the Minneapolis Truth and Reconciliation Work Group. She's part of that. I'm part of that as well. And she is just doing it. But yeah, she was charged with kind of preserving that record. And now she's a wealth of information about all of those interviews. My sister is in some of those. She did a little bit of media back then as well. And so, so to lose, you know, McGizzi lost their building this year, and they are resilient and rebounding, and now they've lost a founder. And so, so to recognize that passing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. We brought it up, but it's great to bring up again and really to get your perspective too. I think we can keep on bringing it up as far as I'm concerned.
She was super important in my life, and she was also an elected official, you know, here in the city of Minneapolis. She served on the Minneapolis Library Board. I think she was the third tribal member to be elected to public office here within the city. So I was on the Minneapolis City Council. It was first Peggy Flanagan on the Minneapolis School Board, our now Lieutenant Governor. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Laura was the third as a library board member.
Wow. What a legacy.
Life of service. Yeah.
What a legacy. And then just one last thing too, is she produced that book, We're Still Here. And it has all those AIM photos from that photographer, Dick Bancroft. That was her book and her baby. And, you know, I have a couple copies of that. And whenever I see them on sale anywhere, I snatch one up. So I have quite a few copies.
Nice. Well, and Laura was a founder of the organization I work for today, Native American Community Development and Student ACTI. You know, it was a kind of an innovative organization. It was founded 12 years ago as an asset-based community development agency, you know, an intermediary. And that asset-based approach was not really that common within Indian country, where a lot of our, especially in the cities, where a lot of our infrastructure is service-based, so needs-based, which is important. That's incredibly important work that we support, and we needed to be leveraging the assets. So she was kind of think of her as the fairy godmother of creating NACTI. She put a lot of professional blood, sweat, and tears into establishing it. And then the fairy godfather was Sid Bean here as well, Dakota Elder, who is, you know, just an incredible brain and thinker. Mm-hmm. But together, Laura Waterman Whitstock and Sid Bean established NACTI.
Wow. That's something I did not know. That's really good to hear.
Oh, I'm full of surprises,
Robert. Wow. What else do you got for us? That's a somber note. And I think there's other things that you're in the midst of working on that really are making everybody's heart sore, and your work with your work?
Sore as an S-O-A-R or sore as an S-O-R-E? No, I'm not sure.
I hope so. Maybe a little above.
A little above.
Yeah. I hope that's, yeah.
Well, like so an one, eagle.
Sore like an eagle. Yeah. So one project, and I don't know if we talked about this yet, but it's really fascinating work for me and for the organization I work for, NACD. And we are in this conversation about what happens in Minneapolis. You know, the Mississippi River runs right through our city, and the Central Riverfront, as it's called, is really key, mm-hmm. Key site to the identity of the city. And of course, it's all former Dakota land, and there were multiple sacred sites right in this area of what is now St. Anthony Falls. There was an island there called Spirit Island. Mm-hmm. It's now super industrialized, a lock and dam, and other industry, but it was really the birthplace of the city of Minneapolis, and the colonizers used it as a stepping up point for extraction, right? Timber, wheat. Minneapolis was the biggest wheat producer in the world for a while, and the falls powered those mills. There's a lock and dam there that's been decommissioned mm-hmm. by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And an act of Congress recently directed the Army Corps of Engineers to transfer the lock and the land around it to the city of Minneapolis. And so the city of Minneapolis as a government is looking, you know, what to do with that site. And there's a advocacy organization, a community organization called Friends of the Falls. Mm-hmm. And they're the leaders of the city, you know, the descendants of the colonizers. And it's some of the most rich and powerful people in the city mm-hmm. that are involved in this. And they, to their credit, and their leadership are committed to centering the Native voice and what happens in that project. And they mean it. And so my organization, NACD, is under contract to Friends of the Falls to figure out how to do that. Mm. And the powers that be were sort of willing to stop the conversation. There's a lot of interest and even competing interests to determine what happens here. But we've been able to kind of stop the clock and figure out how to engage the most authentic voices. And we've hit on this strategy to engage the descendants of the people who were here mm-hmm. when the Europeans arrived. So the Dakota tribes were working with the Dakota tribal leadership, with their tribal historic preservation offices, to really figure out how to do this in a different way than it's usually done and how to do it in a better way. Mm-hmm. And we're still kind of in the threshold steps of this, but we're making more progress than I thought we would. And a lot of it comes from the commitment of the leadership of the Friends of the Falls, and they would like to see this become, you know, under Native control, Native owned,
wow.
ultimately, but that the vision be Native. And so it just really parallels, you know, a lot of the land back conversations. Right. And, you know, these tribes don't have any formal authority or sovereignty over this site, but they have tons of moral sovereignty and spiritual sovereignty and historic sovereignty. And so try to figure out how to do it in a different way.
Yeah. Wow. That's great news. And I mean, my mind's going crazy, but we'll have to get into more specifics next time we talk.
I'd love to.
Yeah. That is an awesome project you got going mm-hmm. on here. And I just want to say, you know, thank you so much for being on. It's always great information. And
we get to do it next week.
Same time, same day, same bat station.
Well, when COVID's over too, we can go on vacation because Robert will take over the show for a week.
And there we go. And when COVID's
it'll cost you.
Okay.
We expect that. Well, thank you so much, Robert Lilligren of NATKE, for being on the show, Native Roots Radio.
My pleasure.
Have a great day and a great night and a great week, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Gigawabamin.
Haijuoni. Wow, Wendy, unbelievable, huh?
Robert's always a great guest. We're happy to have him and very lucky to have him every week. And we'll get to see him next week again.
Yeah. So that's great. So Robert Lilligren, thank you so much, Pini Gigi. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wukunjahade.
Yeah.
Hey, so what are we going to do? I'm starving.
After the show, we're going to Jay Selby's.
I'm going with you.
It's a plant-based eatery on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul. We're going to order online. We're going to drive there with the dogs in the car because they need to get out of the house and they love to go for a ride in the car. And then we text them when we get there and they bring out the food. And I'm going to have tamarind noodle stir fry.
Oh, okay.
And you'll probably get solo burger because that's what you like.
Yeah, right? That's right. Can't wait. So, wow, it was great. Great news. Talking about a lot of actions up in line three. Mm-hmm. And there's sites out there. Stop line three. What's happening up in the deep north. Mm-hmm. Fond du Lac is one of the places, too. We have a lot of warriors up there. We want to give a shout out to them. I know mm-hmm. there's some things going on possibly tomorrow, but we want to keep that kind of on the low pro.
Yeah, and Ogama is usually with us right now on the radio and on Facebook, but she's not because she's going to pick up supplies.
Snow
because
pants.
She's going up there to do some work.
So yeah, good for some her. Work for us and yeah. and some supplies up mm-hmm. there. So that's a good thing. So there's ways to do it. Reach out to us on Facebook if you want more information about that. And then there's, you know, MN350 and all these groups that are working to protect our water. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited to be part of partnership with them and that. And water is life, Wendy.
I know. We have a sign right in the back of us that says water is life.
Water is sacred, mm-hmm. and we need it. So, hey, what do we got going here? We have a talk about our sacred animals.
Sacred animal section, yep. Yeah. No. So I'm a volunteer state council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state level. They're going to be changing our name soon, so I'll get that as soon yeah. as I think sometime in February.
So what does NADCI stand for? Okay. All right.
Exactly. All right, I know. All right. Well, you know, so, I love to talk about good things, but sometimes I have to talk about things that aren't so great. But so that's what's going to happen today. January 19th, just a couple of days ago, electronic calling in lion hunting was okayed. So despite the opposition from the Humane Society of the United States, Wildlife Protection Campaign, and other wildlife advocates, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission approved the use of electronic predator calls, which mimics distressed or baby wildlife. And this is going to be used to lure the mountain lions for an easy kill. These unsporting calls violate fair chase hunting principles and disproportionately targets female lions, right? Because they mm-hmm. come out looking for this. Then this results in orphaned kittens suffering from starvation, predation, and exposure. But isn't that horrible?
Well, I always think of it as a sport that they would have a gun too. Mm-hmm. That would make it even.
Exactly.
An even sport that they could shoot people, like setting them up like that. That's just terrible. That's not how we do it.
It is terrible. And this is how they're justifying the use of these electronic calls. Mm. So right now, lion hunters already can use mouth calls, right? Just sounds that they make in their mouth, which brings the lions to where the hunters are. But that can let the lion see the hunters and can potentially endanger these hunters. Whereas the hunters can use the electronic calls to attract lions to a location away from them through the use of speakers. So that's what they usually do. They put the speakers elsewhere and then they play these sounds. And they could also send sounds through these speakers that imitate calls of different prey that the lions would go for. Mm. Corey Chick, Southwest Midwest region manager for Park and Wildlife said using electronic calls is far from easy and its impact on hunting harvest levels would be minimal, with it instead just being one more tool that could be available for managing lion numbers through hunting. So that's wow. his take on justifying this horrible way to hunt lions. Parks and Wildlife is trying to address low lion harvest rates in parts of Southwest Colorado. Parks and Wildlife says 12 of 15 states and Canadian provinces that have lions and responded to a survey say they will allow electronic calls.
Oh,
I know. Despite this disappointing outcome, HSUS will never give up the fight for these beautiful animals. And you could find out more about trophy hunting by going to humanesociety.org/trophy hunting.
Oh,
so yeah. So honestly, they're still going to be working on it. And, you know, again, we'd like to live in harmony with these animals and not kill them, because you're not going to eat a mountain lion. You're just going to, I mean, they could guess, you know, whatever. Anyway, it's too bad. I am happy, however, that Major and Champ, those are Joe and Jill Biden's two German shepherds, will be at the White House. So that is good news. And there's also good news that Jill Biden, there's rumors that she wants to get adopt a cat from a humane society. So she wants to get a rescue cat.
I hope the cat's like Lucy, because Lucy yells at me every day.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised she hasn't busted through this door and
it's
started
early.
Meowing.
We still have like 3 minutes left.
We still, and you know what she usually does on during my section of the sacred animal section, or the dogs start barking or something happens. It's kind of funny, but yes, very happy about the animals, and we all have to live in harmony and be just respectful to the animals.
Yeah. Well, you know, another great show. We're winding down here. Our guests make our show. Your segment always makes our show. I know it's really popular when we talk about our sacred animals. So yeah, it's just been fun that we've been doing this show now every day, 5 days a week since, well, this is probably our third week.
Yeah, it is our third week. Yeah, I know. I mean, I think it's getting easier. We're you know, ironing out a few nicks here that we have to fix.
Yeah, right? And we'll probably be back on
StreamYard. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah.
So that's kind of a Zoom thing right now where we're doing the iPad with the guest, and it's working out good. You can see the guest, but you'll see them in full blown and it'll sound better.
It'll just be
even
better.
Even though
overall,
Robert sounded really good today.
He did
today
sound really good. Headset. But anybody listening, go to our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio, and check us out on Facebook. You could see what we look like, what we're doing, and you could put comments in the chat, which we get during the show, which is kind of fun. We get to read the comments and type back comments to them. So check it out.
You know, and one of the things too with the four-legged and just to all the things that are going up on line three, it's just sad and sickening. You know, I was up there a few times. I was in Fond du Lac and I was up at Winona's camp in Palisade, and it's just it's a thing you don't want to see.
They're ripping out hundreds and thousands of trees that have been there for years and years, what these animals are using as shelter. And it's winter, right? So they're being disrupted, and it's going to be really hard for the animals to just find supplies that they need to build new shelters. So a lot of them are going to die because it's too cold and they're not going to be able to find warm shelter.
So stop line three.
Stop line three. And you could call Governor Walz and leave him a message at 651-201-3400. Just call him and politely leave him a message, or you could do whatever you want.
Right.
Leave him a message. Tell him that you disagree with line three.
Yeah. And, you know, with Biden signing that proclamation about the Keystone XL.
Thank you. Yep. Hopefully he will get on board and do the same for line three. That's what we're hoping for.
Well, if he doesn't, it's just a good example for maybe the governor to look at.
Absolutely. That's a good point.
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts, Wendy. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I want to thank our guest, Robert Lilligren. I'd also want to say, if you're listening to the show, you are the resistance. We're still here.
Free Leonard Peltier.